For some of Australia's regional communities, it's been a tough time. First the drought, then the bushfires, and now border closures. As we've been covering on the show, the New South Wales-Victoria border is closed to those without a valid reason to travel. And for many, that sudden change has hit their livelihoods, while for others it's gone relatively smoothly. David Sparks has been speaking to some of those affected.
Every time Jenny Robb thinks her wilderness and camping business is about to recover after the bushfires that swept through southeastern New South Wales, another disaster hits. Based in Kaya, right near the Victorian border and the pristine coastline, she was looking forward to running kayaking tours this winter.
We have had a lot of interest from people from Victoria and Canberra, but mainly Victoria. And unfortunately, I did have some tours booked. They were cancelled pretty much straight away as soon as the border closure was announced.
I guess you speak to other people as well in the community. We're a day and a half into the closure now. What's the sort of word on the ground about how well or badly the border closure is working so far?
Friends of mine in the industry who have tours and or accommodation said they had great bookings pre the announcement of the closure. And then when the closure was announced, they just were on the phone with cancellations all day.
In another border community, Karawa, west of Albury, farmer Derek Scone says he's managed to work around the border closure so far.
I'm based on New South Wales. I very rarely have to go into Victoria, but I have heard other farmers that do have workers that reside in Victoria, especially on the first day that when the permit system was only just starting, that a lot of people had trouble crossing, and that's when the big delays started. But now it seems to be moving quite smoothly.
Derek Scone, who's chairman of the New South Wales Cattle Committee, says the closure might affect his work more when he needs to travel for other reasons, such as buying spare parts. But he says the real impact depends a lot on which part of the border you live in.
Further down the river, where the crossings get smaller, some of them have been completely barricaded off. So there are a number of communities in New South Wales that actually their service centre is in Victoria, and they now have an enormous detour to actually access those services.
Another area hit by the closure is the far west of the border. John George runs backpacker hostels in Mildura on the Victorian side of the Murray River. He organises transport for backpackers to get to work on farms, particularly for citrus and grape growers.
For us, yeah, there was a challenge on the first day of the border lockdown in what we should do, and it was a bit of an unknown then. We got them permits that called them cross-border residents, because effectively, if they have no other address, their address is where they're living in Mildura, which is with us at a backpacker place. We gave them a letter for each car that they used, be it their car or our car, to say that they were staying with us. And we said, take their passports. And we haven't had it. We've had no issues with them being able to cross the border or come back.
And John George voices another concern raised by many living along the border.
I think that there are people here that find it intensely frustrating that they're forced to do something because of a problem that they think has originated in Melbourne.
John George from Mildura and David Sparks with that report.